Hi, Sally Spillane. Welcome back to the Garden Show and Home. And we are actually in the garden show and garden season head. So yay, yay, yay. Brought to you by Catskill Native Nursery, Gardening for a Better Environment on Samsonville Road in Kerhonkson and online at CatskillNativeNursery.com. Walk Hill View Farm Market, your farm market for all seasons, Route 299 West in New Paltz, WalkHillViewFarmMarket.com, and Victoria Gardens Plant Nursery and Garden Center on Route 213 in Rosendale, victoriagardens.biz. And today I have Jude Clausen from the Phantom Gardener. It's tomorrow, Monday, is Earth Day. They've been celebrating all weekend at the Phantom and other places. And today at the Phantom, the Fritz Food Truck, some select perennials, 2 for 1, which is an incredible deal because you can't plant just one. And a class for kids in the afternoon and organic gardening in just kind of like enough time for you to put on your glasses and go down to Phantom and hear about organic gardening. So we were talking before, we were talking about all the great plants, that are, spring is just so phenomenal. Peonies, just talked about peonies. Bleeding hearts, Juge brought up bleeding hearts right before the break. A cool plant.
Yeah, a really old-fashioned plant. It's been around forever. And just such a beauty of spring, and always for me symbolizes the season. Again, it's here, and I just love them. I grew up with a ton, and I have some at my house now, and they have a nice, a decent bloom time, and then most of them end up retreating and kind of disappearing for the season. So it's always a good idea to think about that when planting them, placing them, where do you want to put them? But there's a type actually that I love too, eczema. It blooms all season long, has a really cut leaf foliage, silvery blue. The plant itself is much smaller and the flowers are small and delicate. But boy, that one is very cool. If you don't want your bleeding heart to go disappearing on you, I would suggest that type. I really suggest them both. I mean, the deer leave them alone. They're magical.
And they fall into a category that I call melters. They just sort of melt away. And when they start looking ratty, you can just cut them to the ground. Yeah. And what I do is I make sure, because they go by early and there are still tons of annuals in the nurseries.
Exactly.
And I just go plant annuals around them. And bleeding hearts have an incredible root system, and you don't really have to worry about messing with that root system if you plant around them with annuals. I think it's a great way to deal with melting thing.
Absolutely. Those annuals like Verbena benariensis and some Nicotianas and Cosmos. And I end up planting all of that around where my bleeding hearts were. And it's great. It's wonderful.
And then you have next spring, you have, there's your bleeding hearts again,
popping up. Yeah, I know. They're amazing.
And it's too early for a lot of veggies, but not for other veggies. Right. And it's probably never too early for most herbs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you want to not, don't do your basil yet, but there are so many things that are going out into the garden now. So we've got tons of veggies and herbs, all of the brassicas and the, things like Brussels and broccoli and all of that, but tons of different lettuces and arugula and spinach, peas, beets, so many things. And then herbs, we pretty much have them all. The basil, you just want to be careful. And we're going to be getting things in like our tomatoes and peppers and squash and stuff any minute now, but it really is too early to plant. It's just the soil's not warm enough. There's no reason to put it outside yet. You're really not going to get a jump start. I think sometimes folks think, "Oh, I'll put it out a few weeks early." It doesn't really work that way because, well, for mostly the soil's just not warm enough yet. And then oftentimes too damp, and nighttime temps are dipping a little too low. So it's really better just to wait. And typically in our area, we're talking mid-May to the end of May. I mean, really, my tomatoes and basil and stuff, I don't really ever do before the end of May. Part of it is just so busy here working and getting everybody else set up, but honestly, I don't find that I'm behind at all. That's really when you want to do it. And even if it's June 1st and you haven't gotten that stuff in the ground yet, it's okay. Plant it, tend to it, it'll be fine. But right now, there's so many things to plant. If you haven't done like your onion sets and shallots and things like that, you still have some time. Get those in the ground and asparagus and all the great Asian greens and mustards and pak choi. Oh, there's so many amazing things. So I'm probably forgetting a bunch, but a lot of stuff.
So I'm noticing more and more, because you brought up basil, and so basil in my mind has a companion plant called cilantro. Those are the two things that I like to plant. Cilantro goes by so fast. As soon as cilantro sets seed, it's over. And same with and with When your basil flowers, you don't want your basil to flower. You want to always keep those flowers off your basil. Just, keep those off. But I've been noticing that more and more in kind of early summer, even sometimes midsummer, nurseries are sometimes still providing six packs. They're staggering their seed planting time so that you can replant those things, or get a package of seeds so you can start, basil in June that you'll have, and cilantro.
Definitely. Absolutely. And you really want to try to just cut and harvest from those as often as you can. But especially with things like cilantro and arugula, I'm pretty much every probably 2 weeks sprinkling new seeds right alongside where I already have it planted and it's starting to go. And sometimes the cilantro, it'll go to seed and I just pop all those off and plant those, tuck them in. I mean, it's amazing. There's always a nice succession going on. I hit points in the season when it's really hot and dry because I'll do this with lettuce too and arugula. It's a little more challenging, but one idea is to plant around the base of tomatoes. You can certainly do your basil down there, great companion plants. Cilantro, I just kind of tuck in and around places where they're not out in intense sun, keeps on going. Lettuces, same thing, planting those as a little understory underneath all the tall stuff. So,
Yeah. And also, I think once again, when you get to tomatoes, don't buy tomato plants without buying your steak. And that's true for so many things. It's just, I find that If you plant and stake at the same moment, your chances of like ruining a plant because you stuck a stake right through its heart, or just having it get so unwieldy that you can't deal with it any longer, and you don't have a stake in, I say stake everything that's going to need a stake when you plant it. Just you'll save yourself so many headaches if you do that. And there's a lot of great stakes out there, So wait a minute, we have to take a quick break. Judge Clausen here from the Phantom Gardener. Today's Sunday. They are celebrating Earth Day, and they have the Fritz Food Truck, and they have two buy one get one perennial table that's awesome, and they have classes, and they have everything because it's a Phantom Gardener, and they're on Route 9 in Rhinebeck. So we're taking our break, and we are brought to you by Stories Nursery in Freehold, New York, a gardener's destination for over 60 years, open year-round. Visit them at storiesnursery.com. North Elm Home Furniture, Accents, and Mattresses on North Elm Avenue in Millerton, northelmhome.com. And the Phantom Gardener, sustainable and organic solutions and plants on Route 9 in Rhinebeck and at thephantomgardener.com. We'll be back.